Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a
sleeper. Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
It's hour number two of the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. C-Notes coming up in 20 minutes. What Micah Parsons plans to discuss with Jerry Jones when they hang out at the Cotton Bowl Friday night. We'll have that in 20. Here's Woolchuck's NFL News of the Day, buddy.
Okay, the breaking news is the Raiders have fired head coach Antonio Pierce. Tom Telesco, their general manager, is going to be staying, according to Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport. I saw Vincent Bonsignor, who covers the Ravens there, or the Raiders there in Vegas, said they're going to be looking at Mike Vrabel and Liam Cohen. Cohen, who's the offensive coordinator of the Bucs. They're expected to be two of the top people on their wish list. So, of course, Vrabel goes back to that Brady Patriots connection. But, I mean, heck, Vrabel is definitely the top name in this cycle. I mean, that was the first thing we saw. We were doing post-game, and then Gerard Mayo gets fired.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, well, that was because Vrabel interviews with the Jets, and Robert Kraft couldn't really stomach the idea of Vrabel coaching the Jets. So maybe that pushed his hand there. So Vrabel's a hot commodity. I mean, I wonder which team ends up being the first one to get his services. Is the Patriots? He's interviewed with the Jets, as I mentioned. The Raiders are now interested. I mean, what's going on with the Titans today? They fired GM Ron Carthon. And you look at the timeline in Tennessee, their GM John Robinson gets fired. They hired Carthon then in 2023. They fired Vrabel last year because him and Carthon aren't getting along. Then they hire their head coach. And then today Carthon gets fired. And then 2 years later, Mike Vrabel's the hottest name in the coaching cycle. So things are not looking good from a Titans perspective. But it's also looking very, very bleak if you're a Raiders fan now. One and done for Antonio Pierce, one and done for Gerard Mayo in New England.
Yeah, but that's for the Raiders. That's pretty much that's par for the course for them for the way that they operate
it is,
there.
Yeah,
with
the
Mark Davis, he's very emotional as a leader. And, you know, those things kind of get in the way. It takes a page right out of his dad's book. You know, his dad is moved on. Lane Kiffin, others. Yeah. I mean, he's moved on from coaches very, very quickly, you know, if things aren't. But the thing that Mark Davis has now is that he has the ability with a large bankroll with Vegas. And, you know, before when he was with, you know, with the Raiders and Oakland and places like that, he really didn't have, you know, the money to go out and do what he wants to do. So I think that, you know, Mark Davis is a lot like Jerry Jones, listens to a lot of people, solicits a lot of opinions. He reacts really quickly when it comes to these things, and sometimes the negative of the organization.
So Vegas is now at 6 in the draft order. So they're going to be picking 6 overall. So they're behind quarterback needy teams like Tennessee, maybe Cleveland with the Watson news we got yesterday, the Giants, and then you've got New England and Jacksonville, who Jacksonville just paid Trevor Lawrence. New England just took Drake May, but like, that was the hot team. Is Shador and Dion, like, could that end up being a pairing that goes to Vegas? Maybe that's on the table if they can make a move up. Maybe, I don't know if there's stuff in the background that Dion can pull off. I know Dion wasn't happy with the Titans in that firing. I mean, he, quote, tweeted, wow. Maybe he's, like, not interested in Shador going to Tennessee. We did hear yesterday, like, Cam Ward is their favorite at number one overall. But, I mean, does he want Shador going to Cleveland, the Giants? I mean, all of this is going to be very, very interesting. But the Raiders seem like at 6, they're going to be out of range to be able to get one of these top guys at quarterback.
Did you guys happen to see the interview with Khan, the owner with Jacksonville?
With Baalke.
With Baalke sitting right there. And basically he kind of said if the new coach were to come in and give me reason to move on from the general manager, I'd absolutely consider
it. I would do it.
With the guy sitting right there.
Yeah. It
so
was nuts.
That doesn't, to me, that also tells me that maybe Ben Johnson's still in play there with Jacksonville. I know that there's some teams that like Chicago and New England are in on this, but I wouldn't be surprised if this guy is that interested in bringing a personnel guy along with him to be the general manager.
I think that's a really good point. I would also wonder if maybe, you know, Baalke would just get reassigned somewhere.
I wouldn't want him in the building if it was me personally and I was going.
I hear you,
because all of a sudden what happens is you have somebody in the building like that and now he's undermining everything because if the minute things start to go wrong, he's kind of and I think you saw it in Philadelphia too a little bit with Howie. With Howie when Chip Kelly was in there, Howie was still in the room and then he was like, you know, hey, close the door. I'm gonna tell you something here. That, you know, you don't need that when you're trying to build your team. You know, some guy in there, you know, talking badly about the situation. So I wouldn't want him in there if in fact that I got that job, I would say, please, he needs to be removed, is what I would do.
Well, and I wonder how he felt about Shad Khan just saying that right next to him.
Like, I think he has no choice. I think
that's what made me wonder, how could he be okay with this?
Yeah.
And that's if Shad Khan had said, we work well together, I want to keep you here, but if I need to give GM duties to a head coach, then you need to be flexible and maybe I'll make you the president or something like that, or a VP.
Yeah,
you want a job.
I just would worry about having a guy like that in the building because he's a snaky guy anyway.
Sabotage.
Yeah, he's a very snaky guy.
The enemy from within, man.
Oh yeah,
you don't want that.
Ruined a great thing at San Francisco with Harbaugh there.
That's probably why Khan trusts him, because he's snaky.
Mm. He just feeds everything back to the owner.
Yeah, that's how you survive that long. You got to have the trust of the owner.
Good point.
Now speaking,
what's
of
it called being a bootlick?
Yeah.
I love that phrase. I'm sorry.
Where's that from?
I don't know, man. I just love when people call each other bootlicks online in arguments.
Oh, you're a bootlick.
Yeah.
Well, Ben Johnson, he's been fielding a lot of calls. Jets are not expected to put in a formal request to interview Ben Johnson. Now, they're putting in a request to interview everybody, but Johnson's made it very, very clear that's the one job he would not take.
He'll turn them down.
He's not interested in the Jets job there and what's going on with Woody Johnson and him having to come out and say, my son Brick has nothing to do with the organization, okay? He's not making decisions. We're not basing this off of Madden ratings. But Ben Johnson's not going to be going to the Jets. Vrabel is set to interview with the Bears tomorrow. So you will have Vrabel getting that interview with Chicago. Cowboys, the latest there, they still haven't told Mike McCarthy one way or another if he is allowed to go ahead and do that. Bobby did give me the reasoning on the approval. He said he's under contract until Wednesday. Jerry can grant permission whenever, but he's not likely to respond to a request until McCarthy expires tomorrow. Then he has a week negotiating window where he can block or approve interview requests. So maybe it'll be tomorrow that they actually make the decision to let Mike talk to the Bears or not.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll find out hopefully tomorrow. Maybe that's like the deadline, you know, that they need to finally do something here. You got a bootlicking update?
Apparently originates from the literal image of licking someone's boots, essentially showing extreme subservience.
Okay.
Spit
shining them boots for?
Dates back to the 1840s. Yeah.
Wow. Doug Christie.
Is it an army term or something like that?
1840s.
1840s.
Little cowboy days. The Cowboys are giving an extension to Will Greer. So Will Greer is going to be back in the building. So at least you'll have somebody. You know, you got Trey Lance, who's a free agent. You got Cooper Rush, who's a free agent. I kind of think that they might have wanted to get things done with Trey Lance, but Trey's going to go out there and see what he's got available on the open market. But Will Greer, who they like a lot, I know it was pretty emotional a couple of years ago. It was the day I think Trey Lance actually, they made the move to trade for him. And Will Greer went out there, started the last preseason game, and I think they were asking Dak about it. And he made the comment, like, we're just really focused on, like, Will. Like, Will's, we love him, and now he's going to be out of here. And he just played.
It can be hard to tell, like, at this point in the season, are they just keeping him around so they can have him at rookie minicamp and OTAs and camp? Or is this them saying, hey, you know, we probably don't want to bring back Trey Lance, and Cooper Rush might get more of an offer than we're comfortable with, so we need a cheap guy who's been in the building that could start some games for us.
Yeah, it's a good fallback option.
I wonder if it means they're not going to bring back Rush. And that would be the ultimate cheapskate thing, you know, because for $2 or $3 million, you get a guy that the analytics don't make sense, but he figures out a way to win.
He does. Unless he's playing the Eagles, that dude has a good record. He really, really does. I think he was 9-2 against any team that wasn't Philadelphia.
Wow.
Pretty impressive. 0-3 against the Eagles. Big good news here for the Lions. David Montgomery, he's expected to be available for the divisional round. So they got themselves a bye. They played well. They got that number one spot locked up, and they'll have David Montgomery back for the postseason. So that's what, he went to enough doctors that cleared him. He's going to be good to go for this postseason Super Bowl run for the Lions. They got Anzalone back. And again, if they're able to make it to the Super Bowl, Aiden Hutchinson, he's been very outspoken. He's going to be available to play that game. So we'll see what happens with the Lions in the postseason. Now, Ryan Poles of the Bears, we had the conversation about trading for coaches yesterday. Gavin was very against this, but he has said that trading draft picks for a head coach is on the table. So names like Kyle Shanahan, Mike Tomlin, Kevin O'Connell, they've all been speculated as potential head coach trade candidates. It's unlikely, but the Bears would be open if that presented itself as a possibility there in Chicago. But I also saw like their owner came out and said he doesn't really believe that the head coach and the GM need to be aligned. He's not a believer in that.
The McCaskies are just seems as bad as it gets as ownership groups.
Such a dumpster fire, what's going on there in Chi-Town. I feel bad for Bear fans. I really, really do. And for Caleb Williams. I mean, this is probably why no quarterbacks really worked out there. That ownership's just a trouble. The Tyreek Hill stuff was fun yesterday.
It was, yeah. And it would be, I think it's really interesting when you start to look inside the contract numbers.
Okay.
If Miami Peggy
did a good job with that.
Yeah,
he kind of pointed out.
I mean, $10 million base salary for 2025. You know, I think this is somewhat doable. I would love to see the Cowboys get involved here, and you know, you draft a running back, you make a trade for a wide receiver, and all of a sudden, you know, your offense is great. And if you hit on a couple of defensive draft picks, maybe you could be back in contention next year.
Well, the Dolphins met with Tyreek Hill. They quote unquote cleared the air. So McDaniel said we met for what I want to say was an hour yesterday. I think I was very direct with him. He was very honest, and it was great terms that we were discussing. So he did not request a trade, but you never know. Maybe things go south as we heard about this with Stephon Diggs as well. Like things were good, kumbaya, then he gets traded. Mm-hmm. So there still could be some meat on that bone.
A lot of times that conversation is, hey, stop saying stuff. We're going to try to get you traded. I'm about to do an interview and say everything is going great.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
Let's just go ahead. Hey, for PR and everything, we want to make sure your value is as high as it possibly can be. All right, you're not forcing your way out of here. We want to try and get the most we can for you. Absolutely. Eagles have faith that Jalen Hurts is going to get cleared to play. So that's good news if you're an Eagles fan. We are not, but we still want the best for Jalen Hurts, Texas kid. Make sure he's all right with those concussions. So he's in line to probably be cleared for that game against Green Bay. And then we've got Derek Carr. No interest in taking a pay cut to remain in New Orleans. He said, I wouldn't take a pay cut. Yeah, I wouldn't do that, especially with what I put on tape. Would I restructure, though? Absolutely. I'll always help the team win that way. But there's some things you put out there that you earned. I thought that was pretty laughable. Like, Derek Carr, did you see what we saw this year? Like, outside of the first 2 weeks of the season, you didn't play that great, man. I think absolutely you should take a pay cut there with the Saints. I don't think if you hit the open market, any team's going to go ahead and offer you nearly as much as what New Orleans is paying for you. That might be a little humble pie there, Mr. Carr.
What's he looking at? 4 years and $150 million?
Yeah,
so
that's weed.
$38 million a season? I don't know. That seems pretty fair if I'm Derek Carr. I think I could get that somewhere else.
Oh, I don't. I do not think Derek Carr would be sniffing $40 million out there. But, hey, you never know. There are a lot of quarterback needy teams. Maybe he wants to go back to Vegas. You know, they need a quarterback. So that could work out. Seahawks fired offensive coordinator Ryan Grubbs just after 1 year, which was weird because Geno just had another career season. Jackson Smith and Jigba really broke out this year. They found something in Zach Charbonnet. Like, the offense seemed to be okay. The offensive line was terrible. 50 sacks this year for Geno, but I guess they want to go in a different direction as a 10-win team. Mike McDonald said, I didn't see enough on that offensive side of the football. Bye-bye, Ryan Grubbs.
I mean, my last memory of the Seahawks is going to be that Thursday night game in Chicago a couple of weeks ago where they put up 6 points.
That was
so gross. I mean, if you just watch that game alone, you'd be like, yeah, I think the entire offensive staff needed to get going.
And maybe they are. They're like, hey, we win that game, we're in the playoffs. So, you know, where this is all coming down on you right here, Mr. Grubbs. Finally, I'd like to play Dan Orlovsky, who really kind of dunked on Shannon Sharp here. Shannon was asking about the last time you had a Triple Crown winning wide receiver. Dan Orlovsky was very, very quick with his response here.
Hey, Dio, since you all, if you this historian and analyze the game, can you tell us when the last time a Triple Crown winner in the since the merger hadn't made the playoffs?
Your brother?
I can't either. I can't either. That, boy, that was 30 plus years ago. And
you asked me the last time it happened, 1992.
Yeah. He didn't have a
Shannon was caught there.
Oh, wow.
Shannon was caught.
He's absolutely right.
And Dan was smiling. Dan was ready for this. And then as soon as he answers, like, Shannon, it's like he doesn't even hear it. He's like, I can't. Oh, crap.
What? Damn, you had an answer? And it was my brother?
It was my brother?
It's our very first year in Green Bay.
I'm going to crawfish out of here. Good on you, Dan.
No,
tip of the cap.
No.
Michelle.
That first year, man, he was the only thing, him and Fart were the only things we had in Green Bay that year. I mean, it's amazing. The ball was going to him every single time, and he made every single play.
What would you want to discuss with Jerry Jones if you were planning on attending the Cotton Bowl with him on Friday night? We have some ideas from Micah Parsons, who will be in attendance, and other news items as it's time for the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening. Then Krusty's Corner coming up at 3:40. Tim Cato talking Mavs from All City Dallas at 4 o'clock, and we're back with that here on the...
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. Shoot, yeah, welcome back. Time now for the C-Note, Cowboys News of the Evening here with you, G-Bag Nation. We'll take a look at what's been going on with Mike McCarthy, the Bears, and so on and so forth. Micah Parsons plans for discussion with Jerry Jones at the Cotton Bowl Friday night. Segment here is brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. It's brought to you by the Frankels. Life is unpredictable. Accidents happen. If you or a loved one is injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels. Get a free consultation. 214 or 817-333-3333. Jump online to frankelfirm.com. We are your home of the Rangers as well. The Winter Caravan presented by Coca-Cola with free Whataburger has been rescheduled for Monday at 6:30. The autograph participants... TBA at this point. There will be ticket giveaways and other prizes, and the Rangers Hot Stove Show will be live here 7 to 8. That's Monday night right here at 75 and Fitzhugh, and it's free. No sign up is required. Just get here early and you'll be counting down the days to Ranger spring training along with us on again Monday night. Okay, what Micah Parsons wants to discuss with Jerry Jones while attending the Cotton Bowl together. The Franklin Frankel Injury Attorney text line is open at 877-881-1053. The 906 pointing out Derek Carr's QBR was 63.1, an EPA of 43. Dak was at 45-22, and we were told there would be a bidding war for Prescott. Yeah, I think Derek Carr at $38 million, I would rather have that than Dak Prescott at $60 million. I mean, just to, you know, follow up on that conversation, Chief. Where would you weigh in on that? How bad is Derek Carr compared to Dak?
Oh, I think it's I think Dak is better when healthy, but now the unknown of Dak with his health and everything like that. You saw Derek Carr with a studly offensive coordinator and health for the first couple of weeks. He can look like a different player. So for $38 million, yeah, I'd probably rock with that.
Yeah, he put up some big numbers in those early games, didn't he? I mean, they were scoring like 35 points per game over a 3 or 4 game stretch. But then, you know, it all came back to earth. He still ended up with 15 touchdowns, 5 picks. I think Dak's better, but, you know, to what extent, I'm not sure.
Yeah, either way, you're getting bounced in round one, probably, yeah, of the playoffs.
Okay, Parsons envisions the conversation with Jerry to be about the future of the team. These are some of the questions that he shared with reporters. Where does he see us going? How can we become contenders? How do we bounce back from this year? And what are the plans? Do you think Jerry would, you know, have an open discussion with a star player and be open to influence? I hope so. You know, everything that Micah Parsons has said, he puts championship first. You know, he's willing to take less money. I think if you're Jerry, you would have to respect that. But he said in the past, you know, when we were asking him about Dak Prescott's influence. He's never given any indication, at least publicly, that you know he would be up to be influenced by a player on what the plans are. But I'm sure he's going to have a nice little conversation with them, and would entertain several different discussion angles. Parsons added, "I hope he asks me things too. Jerry has always been so great to me in every aspect. It's going to be great to talk to the guy that kind of believed in me first to see what the mission is and how we're going to accomplish it to make us happy and really make the fans happy." I think at this point, it's got to start with an excellent draft. Like, you got to reverse your negative momentum for the Mozzie Smith and the Tyler Guyton picks in the first round and actually nail something there. It's going to be a lot easier to do at 12. But I think if you're Jerry Jones and you're being honest, the plan has to be, look, man, we got a serious cap situation on our hands for 2025. And maybe we can, make a push in 2026 if we get enough of the right draft picks. And if I'm Micah Parsons, that might be where it really hits me. And I know there's been a lot of young players that have come along with a lot of potential. They all talk championship, from Tony Romo to Jason Witten and DeMarcus Ware and Zeke and Dak. And at some point, it's like, wow, I don't know how committed this organization is. So I hope Micah Parsons doesn't get too discouraged by what Jerry Jones tells him. But, I just feel like that's part of becoming a veteran here around these Cowboys is – right around the time you finish your first contract negotiation, understanding that, maybe as a young player, you care more about the championship than the organization. And I wonder how he's going to react to that, because it really seems like Micah, does want to go for championship, but he also wants to be a lifetime Cowboy. And I don't know if you can have both those things at the same time. Cowboys have yet to respond to Mike McCarthy. How big of an issue is that the top story to me. Just more evidence the Cowboys don't believe it's possible to find the right coach who is irreplaceable or uniquely qualified. I think they just, they want a guy that like knows NFL offense, can lead a room, and is loyal to Jerry. I think that's, about the criteria and the extent of it. And, the front office acquiring talent vastly more important than whatever kind of scheme this coach is going to come up with. He said it years ago, but when he said any one of 500 coaches could have got this job done, I think that was a window into how he looks at it, and he probably thinks that other people are overvaluing or overthinking the coaching situation. DeMarvion Overshown says he's confident in recovery from knee injury and expects a 2025 return even before December. That is huge, guys. But I think as you look to the offseason, Kendrick's a free agent, Overshown out. I mean, you have Leafau, but we got to get another linebacker in the first couple of days of the draft, don't we?
No, you absolutely do. And, that's always going to be the trick. This appears to be the type of draft where, it's, I don't know if it, Zach, if you've necessarily seen a bunch of first round linebackers.
I haven't seen any first round linebackers. I mean, Campbell from Alabama might be the only one in the conversation. I mean, Jalon Walker, but as I mentioned, I don't think he's a true off-ball guy. You see him
more as an edge.
That's fine. I want to draft my off ball linebacker after the first round, anyways.
Yeah. Well, there, like I say, then you're going to probably have that opportunity, because right now I know the group I've gone through, I don't know if I really would consider having any real strong second round guys either.
Found a good one in the third with Marist, so maybe they can keep digging there.
Yep.
Okay, at 877-881-1053, people are weighing in on the Dak Derek Carr situation. Dak's not better, Dawson, says the 817. 214, Jerry doesn't know how to answer those damn questions from Micah Parsons. Yeah, I just wonder how honest he's going to be, I think you could talk about a desire to win a championship and, say the meaningless quotes of there isn't a check I wouldn't sign in order to try to make this thing happen. I just think the biggest takeaway from Micah, if I was his agent, I know he's got a great agent, would be don't fall for this stuff, dude. Don't you go take significantly less for a front office that has shown no ability to capitalize on golden opportunities that are dropped in their lap. That's going to be something you're going to look back on in retirement and be like, man, there should be another $30 or $40 million in this portfolio, but it's just not there because I believed in the Cowboys. If I gave them a $10 million, they might end up giving that to a running back or, one of their favorites who sells jerseys. You just, you know, there's no reason to believe.
Yeah, they can't be trusted with those dollars. Absolutely not. And honestly, if I was in the Super Bowl booth right now or the Cotton Bowl booth with Jerry, I would really just be peppering him with questions about his acting chops.
Yeah.
My goodness gracious.
Yeah.
What a cameo he made in
that
Billy Bob show.
I mean, that was him.
That was incredible.
Yeah, I think that was real life for him.
Yeah, I think it'd be easier, you know, Jerry obviously very comfortable public speaking, and you know, it'd be easier to just to ask him to give some genuine answers about his mindset or his perspective on things and let the cameras roll.
It was amazing how it flowed. It was just so smooth. I mean, we've heard Jerry before in the trites and the choppiness of all that, but it was very, very smooth the way that
he just ad-libbed that thing?
I think that's a speech he's given a number of times in different situations.
He is really good friends. Is the gentleman's name Taylor Sheridan?
Yes.
Okay. He is very good friends with him. And so, you know, maybe they've had this discussion before. Hey, would you come on this show? And I want you to do it this way.
It's a perfect show to have him on.
Yeah. And, you know, I can say, so I think that this was one that he's probably a talk he's had with himself, and he was able to kind of, you know, drum up the emotion in it,
man,
and stuff.
He hit that thing out the park.
It was really smooth the way he delivered it.
It was the tone of his voice, the facial expressions,
the sadness,
you know, the inflections,
the watery eyes.
Started tearing up. Yeah.
I mean, John Hamm's looking at him with some envy. Yeah.
But we're tracking all the reports and all the rumors on Mike McCarthy. I guess the next thing to look forward to, if yesterday couldn't put any urgency into it, is what happens, at the deadline when Mike McCarthy's contract is up, and then the Cowboys have an exclusive negotiating window. But it's clear every other NFL team that is in a coaching situation wants to start working quickly to get a resolution. And the Cowboys believe they are just fine letting this play out and aren't concerned at all about, you know, the head coach or his assistant coaches having an opportunity to go pursue other opportunities. I just think it is the most tone deaf thing, that they maybe have done all year when it comes to how they manage their employees. I just couldn't imagine the disrespect. And, you know, right now, if you have other options, you know, and you have other guys that you're depending on, I think if you're Mike McCarthy, when that contract ends tomorrow, if we can get any sort of back channeling going on with the Bears or the Saints that they want to hire me, I got to take that job right now. I don't want to put up with another 5 years of this if I don't have to. And I don't feel like we're going to be winning the Super Bowl anytime soon. Okay, Krusty's Corners brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Brian, where are you taking it?
Yeah, I've got a couple of questions for my guys, and I want to put out some final rookie stats. We'll do that next.
Thank you very much, Lucius. Tim Cato, All-City Dallas, coming up to talk Mavs at 4 o'clock. Here's Brian with Krusty's Corner.
Thank you very much, General. I appreciate that. Been doing my with that 4-mile walk last night. The weather.
In the cold. At least the wind died down for you.
You know, it's actually pretty nice out there. I got so much cold weather gear from all the places I've been. That's the one thing that I kind of left things behind, but I always took like the really good cold weather, like the rain suits and stuff like that.
It's a smart man, because I'm like, oh, do I have enough?
Yeah, I did my worst work with Botch last night, and I said, come on, let's go walking. So went out there and got it done, so.
Hoodie and a jacket is a winter coat here in Dallas, Fort Worth.
I'll tell you what, I think hoodies are, if you watch Bobby, hoodies and all the time.
Yeah.
For him it is.
Yeah. It could be 103.
Yeah, with the hood up.
Sean Sharif will do the hoodie thing to you.
Bobby just soaking wet on that damn thing.
Yeah. I'll tell you what.
That's trouble, though, when you assume the hoodie and jacket's going to be enough and you really need a parka, you know?
Yeah, I had, I went out there last night in one of my old, Chief, it's the sideline, the Cowboys sideline jacket that you wore that one day.
And that thing,
Chief, I looked over Chief one time, we're doing that pregame show, and he literally was trying to read, and he was chattering, he was shaking. And so I gave him a jacket, but that's the one, they got some sideline jackets that are pretty
good. Once you're walking and moving a little bit, though, you're
good to go. It was great. But yeah, like I say, hey, be safe out there, folks. I know I guess the weather's coming, right?
Yeah.
So
it could have some snow Wednesday. And I was talking with an expert earlier. He said we probably don't have any problems on the roads till Friday morning after everything freezes over. But it's coming.
All right. Well, like I say, be ready for that. Does that mean the stores are not going to have any food and stuff? Is that where we're at now?
From my understanding, they're pretty picked right now.
Yeah, they already started.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
so no food available for anything? All right.
I think we're beginning bread lines tomorrow.
Oh. It's a lot.
If you like Vienna sausages, then it's still heavily stocked.
I cannot tell you the last year I had a Vienna sausage.
Oh, we should change that.
Is that, didn't you say your dad was a fan of this?
Yeah.
Who doesn't love a good Vienna sausage every once in a while?
Not me. That rubbery thing that's around it.
It's
that,
a texture deal for you.
It's not good.
The casing?
The actual, like that.
You like it raw? Like with the rubber thing around it?
The gelatin stuff in it. The gelatin stuff is what
it's good for your joints.
Once it gets filled.
Yeah, that's not good.
And you flick it?
Yeah. All right. I've got a couple of final stats for you guys. I hate all you.
I don't even know what I said.
You don't want to say it. Right? You don't want to say it, bro.
No, I was just saying. I just didn't know when the last time I had a Vienna sausage. Well, I was just saying. You guys were making me feel bad about it.
I won't buy any then, since you don't like them. We'll pivot to something else.
I usually get some Vienna sausages in my my Christmas stocking.
Yeah, sure you do. Sure you do.
They fit perfectly.
Yeah. You would be a Vienna sausage guy. Perfect.
And I'm getting my ass hammered.
Right. Absolutely. Final numbers for your rookie offensive lineman. Would you like to know this, what they did?
Let's hear it.
As pass blockers real quick.
Yep.
Cooper Beebe, 629 snaps. How many pressures do you think he allowed in 629 dropback snaps?
So 10.
40.
20.
8. 28.
28.
28. 629 pass blocks, snaps, 28 pressures, 3 sacks.
Okay. It's pretty solid. For 3 sacks. Season.
He was one-on-one 240 times in those 629 snaps. 62% is what we're at. So pretty solid year for him, huh?
It's a good rookie season.
I think it's a rookie season for him. Tyler Guyton.
Ooh.
396
penalties.
Snaps.
Dang, it's like half as many snaps.
You may like to guess the pressures.
32.
40.
37 pressures. He gave up how many sacks?
8. 5.
7.
6.
Ooh, we're splitting the difference, boys.
He was one-on-one. Now, get this. He was one-on-one out of 396 snaps. He had one-on-one blocks 326 times. So 82% of his snaps, he was one-on-one.
Mano-y-mano.
Mano-y-mano.
Guyton Island.
Giving up, you think for a rookie giving up 37 pressures and that many one-on-one snaps, is that a bad year?
It's not terrible.
It's not good. I would say
he's one-on-one 82% of the time.
He was getting pulled for Awesome Richards in Adoga.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that was more like the mistakes, penalties.
Dawson, I think it's the penalties.
That's a lot of pressures and sacks and penalties. He's inconsistent for a variety of reasons.
I don't know, man. 37 pressures and 396?
What was Steele? What is that, like 10 games worth?
Steele's kind of got the BB numbers. But Steele gave up 11 sacks. In this thing. Yeah. I was trying to do, you want to know what, I could pull that up for you. We'll figure out what this.
I mean, how many penalties are when you're beat? A lot of his, I think, were pre-snap, but he did have plenty of holdings as well. And he was playing in an offense that was perpetually trying to get the ball out fast. You know, so you have to factor that in as well. You're giving up pressures and sacks when you're in an offense where they're just trying to get the ball out of the quarterback's hands as quickly as possible.
I kind of feel like with him that maybe there's more to it than just how he played. The maturity stuff and things like that we talked about, learning how to be a pro. I wonder if that was his biggest problem. I know we've seen the play and stuff, and they pulled him, and you're not wrong, Dawson. But
how you respond to the adversity,
yeah,
I think
it'd be I wonder if
playing through injuries.
Yeah, I wonder if all that was the reason why that we look at him in a different light. Now, I know me, I think, because, see, I wanted him to have a really good game the other day, but he didn't. And so I was hopeful that because I wanted him to have something feeling good about going into the offseason. I think they're going to need him to play left tackle. Because Zach and I are looking right now at this draft. And if you want to go out there and tell me that you're going to draft a tackle at 11, that tackle is likely going to be playing guard.
They don't really have true bona fide tackles.
I don't think so. Yeah, Zach, correct me if I'm wrong.
Athleticism and stuff. I mean, like, I think Will Campbell's capable of it. I think Kelvin Banks is capable of it. But
Banks is capable of it from Texas. I think he would be a much better guard.
Yeah, that's it. Like, you look at him and
these tackles, like you say, if you're trying to replace him, and maybe how well do you feel about
Richards
and guys like that? Because Adoga is a free agent.
Yeah, I'm down to let Awesome Richards compete for the gig. I think he's earned that, and I think when he's played, he has not been bad. He's certainly showed you something this year where coming into the season, we were disappointed. We're like, man, I'd feel much better about this if Awesome Richards had been able to get some playing time, and we felt better about it. I thought Richards in the snaps that he got, okay.
Maybe there's a world where Steele is a post-June 1 cut, save some money on that, and then Guyton goes back to his home at right tackle, and then Awesome Richards steps in as your left tackle.
Do you think him going to right tackle fixes the things?
It doesn't fix all the mental issues and the maturity, all that kind of stuff, but just from a general comfort of being on the right side, mm-hmm. and maybe he feels differently after being for a season on the left, but
right.
he was a right tackle when you drafted him.
Right. The thing that scares me right now is if somebody told me I would have to take an offensive lineman in the first round of this draft, with the exception of
Banks.
Simmons.
Oh yeah,
from Ohio State.
Hey, if you get cleared on that knee,
but the problem is he's got a knee injury.
Yeah, how bad's the knee?
That's a mystery. Like Ohio State hasn't really. They just said knee injury.
Yeah. I'm not doing Blue Star specials. Wasn't round one.
Was it season ending?
Yes.
Yeah.
When?
It happened second quarter of the Oregon game. So early in the season. What was that? Like week five, six, somewhere around there.
Yeah. And is that his first knee injury, or is he had a track record?
I think
he was
playing with a brace before. Yeah.
All those guys wear braces now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't mind one knee injury over the course of a college career, but if you have a guy with a track record of being hurt, I'm definitely out on that at 12. Need ultra high-end talent or, you know, a clean medical report to do that. So, I mean, if that's the situation, I think you have enough young players with talent that letting them go next year is fine. Mm-hmm. You know, especially when you look at the cap and how many players they're losing, this team's probably going to take another half step back and
I think there's going to be some issues here. No question. I'm not going to be as gung-ho as I was, you know, going into training camp. Oh, you know, Tolbert's going to, you know, take a step and Ferguson's going to take, you know, I got on that train. I'm going to be a little bit more mindful of like, okay, well, who all did they lose here? Because these injuries, when it happens, there are a lot of young guys that did play well.
Yeah.
But you're losing a lot of players, like the Golstons, the Osa Diggies was, and those guys kind of played really well for you. So I would keep an eye on all that. I just don't want to take an offensive tackle in the first round here. Not with what I've seen so far. All right, Chief, I got a couple questions for you.
Oh, crap.
Others? Were you surprised how well Trey Lance played the other day?
I mean, I'm surprised that he didn't have any interceptions. And he was, you could see that there was progress made from preseason to the game the other day, but he still was taking unnecessary sacks, missing, I mean, the inaccurate balls. I don't know if it's miscommunication a couple of times, but the air mails, the one to Rico, like you make this unbelievable play in the pocket and then it's the layup that you can't make. Like he does all these awesome things, but when you just boil it down to can you do just the basic quarterback stuff, he's still not there. So he was a little bit better than I thought he was going to be because I thought if you're playing the whole game, you're going to throw some interceptions and he never did, but he's still not anywhere close to starting caliber.
How about you there, Dawson? You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I thought it was good for him. I think the Cowboys managed this perfectly to give a team something to look at and maybe give them a contract and you end up with a comp pick. But everything going on with Washington is perfect with this, from the injuries in their secondary, their lack of pass rush, the yards that have been allowed per game, the big plays allowed against them, the red zone defense trouble. Like, this was the perfect game to put Trey Lance in. You know, so, but it still was a little bit better than I thought it would be.
Yeah. How about you there, Wooly?
Yeah, I mean, I did think that this thing could go south in a hurry. So in terms of the ball security, you know, with their, I mean, we saw them throw five interceptions in the third preseason. Right.
Yeah, we sure
so
did.
So that was like, oh my gosh, I was shocked that he came out clean there. But yeah, I think we saw a lot of the same things that we saw in Oxnard, where it was like field gets smaller in the red zone. He had massive, massive problems. Mm-hmm. There's parts we're throwing to the middle of the field. He's got timing, anticipation, velocity. Boom, it's there. Ball's on target. Yeah. Can hit the receiver in stride, but then, okay, now I'm throwing an out route, or I've got to hit the far back pylon and said I'm coming to the front pylon here. Just, and a lot of this comes with playing, man. Like, mm-hmm. Trey Lance is not being helped by the fact that the dude hasn't played much football.
Been given a lot of chances over an extended period of time, Wolchuk. I think he hasn't played a lot of football.
He has not
stinks.
Been given enough chances. That's not
so
true.
So you nobody would want to bring him back as a backup?
I would.
I think Will Greer is probably better.
I think the Cowboys would.
I think maybe for 1 year, because next year is a rebuilding year and a tank year that we're hoping to get a top 10 pick, maybe take that next tackle of the future. Yeah. I'm fine with it, right? I think the actually competing and trying to go for it again starts in 2026. So, sure, I'd be fine with giving Trey Lance more of a chance to prove something.
Especially with the health of Dak, though, do you have to think go get a legitimate backup quarterback? Is that where you guys
are? Well, we're just at the start of this 4-year contract, so I would think that you want a good young prospect that you're grooming in round 3 or 4 at some point in the next couple of drafts. That doesn't have to happen now. But no, if I'm truly front officing this team, I'm looking at Dak's injury situation as a potential blessing to set us up for a 2 or 3 win year next year if he gets hurt early. And that would mean letting Cooper Rush go, maybe bringing back Trey Lance, and then, you know, not finding a competent quarterback, because next year has to be god awful. You know, if you want that top 5 pick that can deliver an elite pass rusher or tackle, or maybe it's a quarterback, you know, That would be the right way to team build this. Like, if Dak gets hurt, we're bleeped, and we want that. We want to embrace that this time around next year.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Tim Cato, All City Dallas, will be talking Mavs with you next. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.